place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
611, welcome to the greatest city in the world. Live from the 18th floor, 303 East Wacker in downtown Chicago. A bit cloudy out there. Not the spectacular sunrise we had yesterday.
Oh, I don't know.
Do I should turn around?
You should turn around. There's just this glow.
That's me, Dave.
I'm sorry.
That's me glowing.
Yeah, you're right. I'm mistaken.
We got to get right into it here. The president's going to be calling. Any issues? Anybody need anything before we start? Wine list? Shrimp cocktail?
Shrimp cocktail!
Appetizers, anything?
Love a good shrimp cocktail. Bloody Mary be
croissant,
good.
Croissant, maybe? A little croissant?
at least you're in the right part of the day. All right, here we go. Top 6 and 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Well, the president had himself quite a day, and today could be quite a day as well, or not. The urgent need is for everyone to behave and not get ahead of themselves, but it was quite telling yesterday that several congresspeople who had gone into their skiff, and you don't have a skiff, I don't have a skiff, we don't have a skiff, they have a skiff. It's a sort of a secret reading room. And what happened yesterday was the actual whistleblower complaint was released. And today, after being declassified overnight, is allegedly going to be seen by all of us. And it looks like there's much more. Steve, you were talking about this yesterday. It looks like there's much more to the Trump-Ukraine president phone call than the White House summary yesterday.
It was a 33-minute phone call. And we've gotten notes, 5 pages of notes on that phone call. The volume of talking would be more than 5 pages if it were a verbatim transcript. So the question is, what is missing from that?
And it's a size 72 font on the 5 pages.
It's a big font. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, 12 or 14.
Okay. President Trump repeatedly pressured Ukraine's leader to investigate leading Democrats as a favor to him during a phone call, according to all involved with the discussion and those who read it yesterday. And a reconstruction of the call released yesterday by the White House. So we're talking about here, Trump urged President Volodymyr Zelensky. By the way, you guys know this, right? He's a comedian. He was a very famous comedian in the Ukraine. And that's why he was famous enough to get elected.
Like stand-up?
But stand-up sketch. Mm-hmm. That I just think it's sort of perfect.
Similar.
For the story.
Another pop culture leader.
Yeah, he was sort of like a Saturday Night Live cast member. That's sort of what he was in the Ukraine.
You think
he'll
be at the Beverly Arts Center on Friday?
I don't think so, but I know that John DeCoste will be, and so will Tim Benker, BeverlyArtsCenter.org. Sponsored by Cobblestone Development. It's an Iceman production. The Attorney General, William P. Barr, and, of course, Rudy Giuliani. Is he off the reservation? Or is he around the bend? Is he not between the white lines, screaming knucklehead creep? Calling people stupid? I'm telling you. Get back on your meds, Mr. Mayor. Vice President Biden and other Democrats, of course, are involved in the story as well. This is the hard part in 2019, and that is to wait. But at some point before 10 o'clock this morning, we anticipate the whistleblower's complaint will be released. The whistleblower's complaint sounds like a cool Broadway play to me.
I thought you were in a band named that.
And it's
good musical.
Trying to get it together.
It's starting to sound, too, like the whistleblower was one of those staff members in the Situation Room listening in on that call.
That's the thing. We don't exactly know what the geographical position of this person was to overhear what they overheard. There's a lot of talk yesterday. It's second or third hand information. I don't think that's going to play out. Next, the Trump administration threatening to pull out of the Universal Postal Union, a United Nations body that regulates international mail services, if it doesn't change the rules that allow China to take advantage of lower fees available to developing countries. Withdrawal from the union would mean total destruction of existing mail services to the U.S. from abroad. Well, that doesn't seem helpful. It's a negotiating ploy, but we'll see. It's one of those stories that you wouldn't hear about necessarily, but you should. Next. Cubs are out. Brewers beat the Reds, and the Cubs lost to the Pirates. Only one of those needed to happen. The Cubs will miss the postseason for the first time since 2014. And at this point, has anyone seen Joe Maddon with a cardboard box?
With a cardboard. No.
Oh,
no, but he.
With handles.
I was like, what?
Well, you've
he
not been,
said yesterday.
Dave, you've not been fired, apparently. A cardboard box is part of the
fire. I got it.
He's thinking of the kind you live in.
Yeah. Why would he be in a box?
Yeah, no,
he said he's not. Oh, he said he is very optimistic about his future. Now, whether that future's in Chicago, but he kind of sounded in a radio interview yesterday as if he is. He expects to be back, but he and Theo Epstein are going to sit down, talk things over, and see what happens.
So what do you think is on his desk? A couple of Cubs bobbleheads and a baseball and a pack of gum, maybe? What do you think?
I see him having a messy desk. I see him, you know, he's an old hippie. I see him having a lot of stuff there.
Not so messy.
Oh, have you been in there? Been in the office?
I've seen his desk.
Okay, okay.
He doesn't...
maybe cleaned it up because he knew you were coming.
He doesn't need that box. He has that really cool, groovy van that he can...
Right. Right, but you got to get it out of the office, into the van. next, ConAgra hit with 17 new lawsuits that allege certain cans of Pam cooking spray started fires that severely burned users. The suits filed Monday in Cook County Circuit Court allege that Chicago-based food makers sold dangerous and faulty products and failed to adequately warn consumers of the risk. I don't, you know, we've heard this story off and on over the year. I don't understand this.
What do you not understand?
If one Pam can started a fire, why can't they all?
I don't know. There's one can that's defective, maybe under pressure. I have no idea. I don't know.
Well, I just used some yesterday.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I have some.
Wow.
I carry some with me at all times.
When do you use Pam? Yeah, I don't see
I
you.
Cook once.
Yeah, you Seattle Sutton. That's what you do. That requires no Pamming.
You spray the Pam on the turkey, right?
No.
That's not what you do?
Uh-uh.
Anyway, 17 new lawsuits, and where that develops will depend on a lot of things. But in the meantime, I don't know.
I'm
careful with Pam around open flame. I don't even know what to tell people.
I'm kicking my Pam out of the house.
Yesterday on the news, I saw that somebody said that a can of pressurized dry shampoo exploded in their car. So you got to watch out maybe for dry shampoo. You don't even know what dry shampoo is, do you?
What is dry shampoo?
Guess. What do you think dry shampoo is?
Shampoo that's dry.
Is it like powder you put in your hair?
Yes, you spray it in your hair if it's dirty, and you don't have to shampoo
Does
your
it
hair.
Actually
it's
work?
Gross.
I love it. Oh. What are you talking about, Mary? Oh my God, I love it.
It's
so
not
good.
Grainy.
No, it freshens up your hair, and you don't have to
what
wash your hair.
What if it's sweaty
and dirty hair? It like absorbs the sweat. Dirty hair looks better. You can style dirty hair.
And
better
then you brush it out, or it just dissolves.
No, you just put it in there. It dissolves.
If you're getting an updo, it's much better.
Maybe we could put it in your goatee. That could work. If your goatee feels a little.
My goatee has never been cleaner. next, Chicago developers, Riverside Investment Development and Convexity Properties are set to demolish a parking garage alongside Union Station, creating a space to build approximately a 50-story, 1.4 million square foot office tower along with the new 1.5-acre park. You know, you look what they're doing at the old Tribune Tower where we were forever, and this going up and cranes all over the city. Chicago's got a lot of money problems in regards to how we spend it, where it comes from, but the building continues. It's the sign of success in any city if you see cranes in the skyline.
And don't we need the parking?
Well, yeah, we always need more parking. Yes, absolutely. Next, Amazon said Wednesday they're going to start selling wireless earbuds, finger rings, and prescription eyeglasses. With its Alexa voice assistant built in. Is this part of the Alexa products that were released this week? There are like six products released this week. There are Alexa glasses. There was a ring thing that I don't entirely understand. Steve, what's the ring do?
I didn't see the ring thing, but I'm guessing it's in sort of like a Spider-Man decoder ring kind of situation where you have the ring on and you just, you know, speak into it like a watch, I'm thinking.
I thought it does make sense because that would make it portable. I just thought the finger ring was tied to the Alexa in other parts of the house. Maybe I'm wrong. And the wireless earbuds are, well, oddly enough, wireless earbuds. But all of that is going to be available to you, including Samuel L. Jackson being the new voice of Alexa, if you choose, including a dirty version of Samuel L. Jackson.
He is my favorite cusser. He can cuss like nobody else on planet Earth.
Alexa, give me a number. Get your own number!
I'm not sure I want that.
I'm looking at the thing right now, and it really does it looks a lot like what the watch looks like, the Apple Watch.
You talking about the ring?
But a ring, yeah. So it has like a little light around it. It's kind of a black.
It's pretty thick, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's
it is
pretty
kind of
big ring. I don't know that I'd, you know, be very comfortable to
Can
wear.
You accessorize with it?
I don't think it's pretty plain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit?
You should ask Alexa. It's 6:21. We'll come back. The president's scheduled to call at any time. We'll stand by for that. And Chuck Todd at 6:40. Of course, we talk a lot of politics on Thursday. Pat Brady is already here, sucking up to the teacher. Eric Edelstein is in this morning. And Bridget Gaynor's coming in today. So we'll get a little Cook County and city stuff figured out as well.
Later, loser.
That's fast.
Later, loser.
Well, I can imagine he's pressed for time.
Later, loser.
Let me grab this.
Later, loser.
Yeah. Good morning, President Trump. President Trump, are you there?
Good morning, Cochran.
Yes.
I have a feeling this call is going to be perfect. The perfect call. And I'm sure lots of people will be listening in, too.
Well, you've had a wang-dang-doodle of a week, sir. A national intelligence employee turned White House whistleblower files a complaint with the inspector general. Has something to do with conversations you had with the president of the Ukraine, I should say. You asked him to do you a favor, investigate the Bidens, the military aid to the country, over his head, maybe held back unless he does what you want. And that convinced House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to announce a formal impeachment inquiry against you. What are your thoughts on all that?
All that happened and it's only Thursday?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Hey, Mike Pence, can you please go get my emotional support cheeseburger? On it, sir.
I didn't know you could do that.
It's true. You can do it.
But all this impeachment talk, I mean, it's got to bother you.
Look, if the last 3 years are any indication, get ready for nothing to happen. Nothing. The New England Patriots have higher standards than Nancy Pelosi, okay? I will never be impeached, Cochran. That would mean Congress got off their butts and actually did something.
Well said.
Not going to happen. If I had a quarter for every time I got threatened with impeachment, I could buy Joe Biden a decent campaign staff. Believe me.
Your director of national intelligence is testifying before Congress today. He's also handing over the whistleblower complaint specifically. That seems to have more information than what the White House released yesterday. Are you concerned?
Look. Asking a foreign country to investigate someone for personal political gain is so routine in Washington, they call it pulling a Clinton, okay? Can we please stop calling this whistleblower a whistleblower, too? Mm-hmm. He's a tattletale,
okay.
A partisan loser tattletale who's part of the witch hunt, Cochran. Yeah, he was the guy in high school that raised his hand and got homework for the entire class on a Friday afternoon.
Do you, at this point, have, concerns about anything going forward? Because I can tell you right now, I'm concerned about the country. We got to move on. We read the transcript. You asked Mr. Zelensky to do you a favor and investigate Biden, or you wouldn't give him the aid money. I mean, isn't this textbook quid pro quo, sir?
First off, can I just tell you, quid pro and quo are the amazing owners of my favorite Vietnamese restaurant across from Trump Tower. Legal immigrants of this country, mind you, legal, who happen to make tremendous fun noodles. Tremendous. It's an absolute shame they got dragged into this mess. Now, look, you ask that question because you don't understand how negotiation works, okay? You need to act tough with these foreign leaders. Tough. I mean, these Ukrainians are tough people. They're tough people. Their chief exports are big-boned women who can bench press their own body weight. Believe me.
What about you asking him to investigate Biden and Biden's son, Hunter?
Of course they need to investigate Biden. He's doing bad stuff, even right here at home. If you snipped ladies' hair at WGN, you'd bet your butt HR would be investigating you. And don't get me started on Hunter. I mean, what the hell kind of name is that, Hunter? I mean, I have two incredibly incompetent sons who are actual hunters, and I didn't give either of them a stupid name like that. I mean, what was Sleepy Joe thinking?
I think you need some sleep, Mr. President. Have you talked to your personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, about all this Ukraine stuff?
Can I just tell you, my personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is so loyal. So loyal. And he's pumped about coming to my defense. He's very excited. In fact, he's already added a third and fourth pinky ring to his collection.
That's exciting.
I can't wait to see him on CNN again. Have you seen him? He makes Jake Tapper's head spin like a top. He's tremendous at creating confusion. I mean, I think they're actually using subtitles for him now on the Sunday talk shows.
Be good for him in all walks of life. All right, moving on now. You've been in New York this week for the UN's General Assembly. It's a homecoming. How'd it go?
Well, I will tell you, I've been to the UN lots of times, and after all these visits, not once has anybody even offered to introduce me to General Assembly. Not once. I love the generals, and the generals love me, but makes no sense at all. Very disgraceful. In all fairness, it was a productive trip, Cochran. I talked to lots of leaders with funny accents. I shook a lot of hands, pretending I understood what the hell they were saying. And and passed out a lot of 10% off coupons for a night stay at the Trump Plaza.
And I'm sure you like being home, didn't you?
The city where the protesters never sleep. Yep, I love being back home. It's the only place in the world where I can get cursed out in 14 different languages. It's fantastic. Even the president of Iran was here. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I think he pronounced his name Hassan Gwen Stefani. Yeah. We didn't speak to each other, but to his credit, his poll numbers are higher than Mayor Bill de Blasio. Look it up.
Yeah, I got my people on it. All right, last thing. Did you have a chance to catch the Emmy Awards the other night? You're always so in touch with pop culture. What'd you think?
And my buddy Billy Bush was back on the job. Did you see that?
I did.
Only got pepper sprayed once by the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I believe.
Didn't know that.
Seriously, the Emmys, I mean, what a left-wing love fest that crap was. And a very boring show, too, Cochran. I mean, frankly, the only entertaining moment was on the red carpet when that guy with the lopsided, bedazzled rhinestone cowboy hat, who was that Urkel? He accidentally put his drink down on the head of that little Peter Dinkley from Game of Thrones.
That is
but other than that, a huge snooze fest.
Well, as always, our time is too short, and we're going to have to run, sir. Good luck today.
Later, loser.
It's, the president of these United States, Chuck Todd, and I will talk about it. Well, not about that. About the other stuff coming up.
It's very sad what the Democrats are doing to this country. They're dividing. They're belittling. They're demeaning our country. So many leaders came up to me today and they said, sir, what you go through, no president has ever gone through. And it's so bad for your country. People laugh at the stupidity of what they've asked for.
Nobody walked up to Donald Trump from another country and said to the President of the United States, it's so bad for your country. I can't believe what you're going through. But really, that's not important right now. What's important is that Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, the Chuck Toddcast and MTP Daily, is on the phone. And he's going to explain all of this to you, to me, to all of us right now. Good morning, Chuck.
Yeah, good morning.
Where are we, Chuck? And I don't mean where are we, you know, because you're in D.C. and I'm in Chicago. Where are we?
Yeah. I think we're not in as much of a different place as many Democrats would like to believe, but we're not in, this isn't sort of a Mueller fizzle as maybe the White House is hoping. I think this is clearly the president. I think a few things we've learned about the president. He is obsessed with the idea that either someone tried to take him down in his words or that he's been tarnished or whatever it is. And he's clearly created this sort of outside little cabal of people to create this investigation in Ukraine. I mean, so on one hand, his actions are extraordinarily troubling. I mean, Rudy Giuliani running around the world, maybe speaking on behalf of the U.S. government, maybe using taxpayer dollars, maybe making threats on the public. We don't know what he's doing. So in some ways, we are at an extraordinarily disturbing place, but in many ways, Donald Trump has so successfully sort of conditioned particularly his supporters and frankly a lot of people who have tuned out that he's always committing questionable actions, and this is no different than any other way he comports himself, which is why I think this doesn't, even though this feels bigger, it's not having perhaps the impact yet that you would think if you just came down from the planet Mars.
This, and by the way, welcome if you did. This whistleblower complaint that supposedly we're going to get to see this morning. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen it. I know a lot about it. I've talked to multiple people who have read it already, and so I will see it soon. I will say this. I think the implication that this whistleblower report will be about more than just the phone call. I had a person who I trust very much, who is somebody who thinks, you know, this person should be impeached, who is like, there doesn't appear to be enough new information that it is somehow going to change the minds of more than Mitt Romney. It's basically how this person said it to me. So it was not that what was read wasn't damning. It's that what was read wasn't probably new enough, and there isn't, the tentacles are not as great as perhaps some had hoped.
Well, you know, you've heard me rant about this to the point of shoving a sock in my mouth, and that is that the Democrats in this case have the same responsibility that the Republicans would have, and that is congressional executive branch oversight, regardless of what it does to you politically. Having said that, right. Politically, what have they done?
Look, I think they've taken on some risk, but I don't think any. But I think the president has taken on more risk with how he's behaved. So I do think we can't sit here and say we know for sure how this is going to play out. This is uncharted waters. We know that there is an exhausted large middle in the country. OK, when I say maybe it's not a large middle ideologically, but we know there's this sort of larger middle who is exhausted. People that hate him that are exhausted, and people that love him, frankly, that are exhausted. Right. And we don't know if they're going to punish all of Washington for this chaos. And if they do, we don't know which party takes the blame. I still believe that the Trump's greatest problem is going to be the chaos, is going to be the voter that says, yeah, you know what, I got a few more dollars in my pocket, but I'm exhausted.
Right.
You know, and especially if the person over there doesn't seem to scare them in their minds, maybe Joe Biden, the type of person. Right. So that to me is still, I think, and this only adds to that. Like, you know, there's sort of, you know, I think the president is actually testing the patience of so many elected Republicans in that I don't know what he can do to make them no longer want to support him. But he can sure do a lot to make them no longer want to go out of their way to carry his water. And I do think you're starting to see some, at least Senate Republicans, basically say, you know what, we're not going to stand in the way of investigations. So, yeah, release the whistleblower report. You know, this is just, it's just a small shift, but it's not insignificant.
Have you heard this wild Paul Manafort tie to this? Is there anything to that? If you've heard?
Oh, there's a lot to this. I mean, I Paul Manafort, look, go back to the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. And if you recall late in the Mueller report, during the time when Paul Manafort was supposedly cooperating with Mueller, but he was all, but then Mueller's people had reason to believe he was basically double dealing, right? He was helping Giuliani and the president, shopping for a pardon, and at the same time, you know, dabbling with Mueller. And during that period, the go-between was Sean Hannity. And
just so bizarre.
I know. You can't. I mean, it's one of the weirder parts to me of that whole investigation. But, you know, Hannity and Manafort have a relationship. And, you know, the implication during the Mueller report was that Hannity was essentially the go-between between Manafort and Giuliani, because Giuliani couldn't be caught talking to Manafort at that time. The point is this. It's my understanding that Manafort, you know, Rudy Giuliani, who is Inspector Clouseau here for the president, right, running around the country trying to find the real OJ killers in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's suddenly talking to all these Ukrainians that Paul Manafort is telling him who to talk to. And I'm sitting there thinking, if these are allies of Paul Manafort, I'm not sure they're going to be allies of democracy. And I'll just leave it at that.
Well, one of the wild theories, and Pat Brady's here, Pat, that's out there, is that Paul Manafort was seeking some sort of revenge on the people that did him wong in Ukraine. And that the president, well, that seems the logical part, right? And the president wanted to keep Paul Manafort happy. Why? That's my.
I look at it the other way. I think Manafort has convinced. Here's what I think has happened. I think Manafort is trying to get revenge on his enemies, and I think Manafort has convinced Trump that Manafort's enemies are Trump's enemies. About, you know, if Manafort has convinced him that these people that Manafort wants to get. We're also the same people that were trying to take him down. So it's more that than it is anything else. And when you hear the language Trump is using about these wild conspiracy theories, I mean, he is down some rabbit holes. The only person pushing this stuff has been Manafort allies. The idea of the server and the email somewhere in Ukraine. I mean, this is just stuff, you know, this is old fashioned, just make it up Russian propaganda, right? There's just barely enough you know, facts. Manafort's been to Ukraine, therefore maybe it's true, right? There's just enough facts to make it seem truthful enough, but they're just wildly making stuff up right now about Clinton emails Ukraine, because the whole goal is just the Russian fog machine.
Right? Yeah, muddy the water.
Yeah. Facts don't matter. Just make sure you can't figure them out.
Pat, what do you got for Chuck?
Hey, Chuck. My daughter's working on the Hill, and she said yesterday, when this all, or day before when it all broke, that everything shut down. So she basically went and watched Miranda Lambert in one of the conference rooms. And, I mean, is it possible?
Everything was sort of, everything yesterday did have that feel of just like the eye of a hurricane.
Well, the I guess the question is, when you're trying to read the tea leaves on the political impact, some of the things that are up here in the next couple months, including the aid to farmers, may not get done. That could have some big repercussions for the president down the road, don't you think?
I wonder here, you know, they both parties are so nervous about the perception that they're going to get blamed for nothing getting done, that, you know, that maybe a few big things do, in that there is enough game of chicken here where neither side wants to risk handing the other party the storyline of, we're trying to lower prescription drugs, they don't want to work with us, they're too busy doing X, right? Whatever the X is, you know, fill in the party. You know, they're too busy investigating their president, or they're too busy obsessing over Joe Biden, whatever it is. So, sure, I'm pessimistic that much serious can get done, but there actually could be mutual assured political destruction here when it comes to not getting anything done, which could at least clear the decks to make sure, say, maybe you get USMCA through, for instance, where there is a bipartisan there's a bipartisan need for it to pass, even though there's a bipartisan fear of being on the record supporting it.
Just another question. What I don't understand, and I was a former federal prosecutor, so I get investigations. Why are there six committees doing this? And then it's all got to go through judiciary, right?
It does. This is Nancy Pelosi sort of. This is, you know, she is, if she is got what I would, some would say it's a fault, some would say it's one of her more honorable traits, but she's a very loyal person, and she's a very, very much an institutionalist. A lot of people were trying to tell her to do a special select committee, that you can't hand this to, don't do it this way, but she is, the problem was she couldn't, there was no obvious one person to give it to, and she didn't want to go, you know, she didn't want to create fights with her committee chairs, jurisdiction fights, so she's sort of letting a thousand flowers bloom. You know, I think that that's a risk. You know, this whole process has been a little bit, I do think the House Democrats, you know, there have been quiet complaints that the Judiciary Committee's not well-staffed. You know, the House really isn't as prepared for this. And part of that is you have 24 Democratic presidential campaigns. So the best operatives in the Democratic Party are not in Washington right now, right? They're with, you know, one of the 22 campaigns. And so you've had sort of I would say sort of the B team and C team at times on the Hill, or the perception that that's there. So, you know, they made this decision to do the six committees. I get why she did it. I think that it only allows to be easier to create more fog. That's all.
Last word with Chuck Todd. This comes out of Pat's question, and I think a lot of people wonder this, since everybody on Capitol Hill is not involved in even an impeachment going forward, why can't stuff get done? And is the obvious answer because it's an excuse not to?
Oh, 100%. You know, the stuff that needs to get done needs bipartisan. It is only going to get done on a bipartisan basis. It's never been harder to be bipartisan. There's no reward for it.
If you're the senator or the House member, I mean, you know, there's a handful of states or districts that still reward a senator or a member of Congress for working across the aisle, but there's so much more fear of that being used against you. And so any excuse not to do some hard stuff right now, and you get to blame it on leadership of the president. I think these rank and file members, you know, are, and by the way, part of me doesn't blame them. Look at this current political environment. It's chaos out there right now.
If I were you, I'd go to my vacation home outside the Beltway and stay there.
Absolutely. Stay out. I get the you know, now it's cowardly, and, you know, sure, I don't know why people run for office to do nothing. But I also understand the human need for survival, and some of these people aren't humans. They're political animals, and they have the need for survival.
It's going to be a very long day for you, Chuck.
Yeah, these are always weird days. You know, it's like, you know, I'm forced to watch so you don't have to.
Yeah, and we appreciate that, by the way.
I understand that. We're the ones stuck doing the homework.
The Chuck Todcast, MTP Daily, and, of course, Meet the Press, longest-running show in television history. Thank you, Chuck.
I got a fun guest where we talk a little bit of Cubs baseball at the very end with a guy named George Will. Enjoy it.
Well, that's tremendous, because George Will used to be a Republican, and
you know what? I look forward to it. So Joe Maddon will be winning a World Series in San Diego next year or the year after?
At this point, I think it could be by the end of the day.
Yo.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck Todd.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, you know, it's Thursday, so we always talk a little more extended political stuff here, and with the country either on the verge of impeachment or the verge of a Trump re-election. I'm pausing for whatever noise you're making in your car right now. We'll get into that in greater detail with Eric Edelstein, Bridget Gaynor, and Pat Brady coming up also. Dean, is Dean back? I think he's back today, and then he's in L.A. tomorrow.
That's right.
So Dean will be on today later on with more on entertainment, and get somebody from the Hawks checking in as we are less than a week away now. Dave, we meaning me. I'm less than a week away from taking a whole bunch of listeners to Prague in the Czech Republic. Dosvidanya! Oh, no, that's not it.
Prosim.
Yes.
And that's...
Prosim is please, thank you, mm-hmm. and ahoy is hello.
Okay. Yes.
And ano is yes.
Bobette!
And Bobette is idiot.
And Gordon's
Bobette.
Granate? Granate?
Garnet.
Is Garnet.
Yes.
Hey, I've spent some time over there, and I think if you really want to be understood, you can speak in English, but just speak slowly and scream. People really appreciate
that. Yeah, generally, Americans who speak slowly and yell and use their hands, any foreign country really appreciates it.
Really works in Germany, too.
News next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Thank you for listening every morning, for streaming every morning, for telling your friends. It's all appreciated. Remember, if you tell just one person about the Steve Cochran Show, that's not enough. Get out there and tell nine more, so it's a total of 10. At 7:12 in the morning, Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady are both here. Why don't you tell us where you work, gentlemen?
I work at AL Media.
And?
Next Generation Strategies.
All right, so I don't want people to think we don't have scandal here. I don't want people to think Chicago's falling behind in political scandal while all the scandal coverage goes national. The other day, Martin Sandoval's office was raided. Let's go live to Pat at Sandoval's office. Pat, what do we know?
Oh, there's not much left here, Steve. Pretty much every box was taken by the IRS and the FBI. In fact, they went to his Capitol office and cleared that out. So all the tourists down there rubbing Lincoln's nose got to see FBI walk out of Senator Sandoval's office. Quite a day in Illinois.
What is the point of this? Do we know?
I think that this is not part of the other investigations we've been hearing about.
It's not tied to Ed Burke in any way?
I don't think so. I think this is something that nobody in Springfield is surprised happened.
The troubling thing for him, from what I read, is that, you know, he's been part of this infrastructure committee, controls a lot of money, has raised a lot of money. I mean, you already saw, like, Kim Fox returned contributions after her opponent called on her to do that. Other people are going to do that. So, you know, it's like kind of rats jumping off a ship at this point.
Yeah. All I can say is anybody that's been in Springfield for any length of time is not surprised that this happened. To me, though, what's interesting is somebody is helping the FBI.
Right.
Because these investigations, the way they're rolling out. So they have some good cooperation.
Are you saying we have a whistleblower?
I'm guessing. I don't have any inside information, but that would be my guess.
You think it's Sean Hannity?
How great is that?
Unbelievable. Couldn't write the screenplay and have it be sold anywhere.
I remember talking to a couple people from the cast of Scandal in like mid to late 2016. We were just getting started.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then the election, and then somebody else from Scandal was back on in 17. And they go, we're out of business.
Yeah.
Right. We cannot write anything that's as good as what's happening
right.
live.
Right.
And that it sort of put an end to political dramas, because remember, that was the hot genre at the moment.
It was.
Speaking of television, I couldn't help but notice a family member of yours was on TV.
Yeah, my little brother Paul had a guest shot on the season premiere of Chicago PD last night, where he plays the new chief of police. I hope he gets along well with Mayor Lightfoot.
Yeah, you don't want to get Mayor Lightfoot pretend firing. It would be entertaining.
It's a lot of pressure on him. We have a lot of problems in the city, as we know. So.
He's a really good actor.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I got some red light tickets I'm not real happy with. Can you help me out, though?
He's the fake
police commissioner.
Yeah, so helping you with your real tickets could be an issue.
Yeah.
So will he live here then, or is he?
No, he lives in L.A. He comes back and forth. You know, he'll come here and shoot for 4 or 5 days and go back and forth. So.
You know, we had on yesterday from Chicago Med. What's your new boyfriend's name? Nick Gelfis. What a good dude he is. In 35 years old with a full head of hair. Reminded me a lot of me.
I actually saw him last night on that show. He was really ugly. He was covered in blood.
Yeah. Not from the interview.
Well, I hope not.
From the show.
You beat him up, Steve?
No, we had a good time talking.
He's a doctor.
And we have so many similarities, one of which being we both have nudity in our contracts.
Really?
Yeah, he's trying to get out of his. I'm trying to encourage my own.
Does he speak Russian in Prague, too? Thinking that that's a way to...
Pragian? You were just in Prague. They speak Czech.
But you were speaking Russian. You were like...
I just threw it.
Remember the opening scene from the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah.
I think I get this picture of Cocker in Prague next week.
Where's the cement pond? Does the hotel have a cement pond?
Oh, man.
All right, 7:16. We have a special Most Valuable Person on the Planet coming up, and then... at some point, we'll check in with Bridget Gaynor as well. Bridget Gaynor is actually the one that tipped us to our MVPP today. And, of course, coming up, you two will solve the complete story of the whistleblower complaint and call. But honestly, I don't know if you heard this, Eric. I really think The Whistleblower is a great title for a Broadway play.
Is it a musical?
Yeah.
All whistling.
Impeachment, yes or no.
No, but it should all be whistling. No words.
I like a dark set with the whistleblower in the back, always in shadow until the end, whistling as he walks across stage.
What is it, Life of Brian, where they're whistling at the end? Like the cross?
Yeah. Monty Python wouldn't be bad.
No.
Yeah, that's not bad.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Most Valuable Person on the Planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Most Valuable Person on the Planet.
The very special woman you're about to meet was tipped to us by Bridget Gaynor, who told us about her last week. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning.
You want to tell us why this person is special to you?
Well, you know, Sister Donna works at Precious Blood Ministries, which is at 51st and Elizabeth, and she works in a group of people that do amazing things, restorative justice. They do this whole moms group. They help people who've gotten out of jail who are, you know, trying to reenter life. But the thing that she has done and continues to do that I find incredible is she brings together women who've lost their children to gun violence. So the child has been shot and has died and they're grieving, but she also brings them together with women who have lost their children because they've, committed a violent act and they're in prison for life. And, you know, as a mother, there's no difference. You're still without your child. And so she brings these women together and it is such an incredible thing to observe of mercy and forgiveness and love between them, and they support each other. And, you know, it's an incredible thing that's happening at this place in our city. And I just thought everyone should know about it.
And there's a third annual fall fundraiser coming up at Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation.
Yes.
That's Sunday?
A week from Sunday, October 6th. So any of the kind of old-time Southsiders that are out there, it's at the old St. John of God. That's the place, that's their headquarters out there in Englewood. And they occupy that school building there, but they have the parking lot. So they do mass the first Sunday of every month. So regardless of the calendar, first Sunday of every month at 11 in the old St. John of God School at 51st and Elizabeth, right by Racine. And this next Sunday, on October 6th, they're going to have their fundraiser, and all of the proceeds go to paying for the staff and others to support these women who, you know, then go out and do all these good things in the community.
Yeah. Well, she sounds exceptional. I'm going to put you on hold so you can listen as we talk to Sister Donna. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning. How are all of you?
Well, we're great. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. This is great.
And I'm very impressed with gee, listen to this resume. Along with doing the wonderful work she does for God every day, she has an MA in education and supervision from NYU, a master's from Loyola in pastoral counseling, and as Bridget just laid out very eloquently, spends a lot of time with folks who've gone through some of the worst tragedies in their life. Sister Donna, how do we pronounce your last name?
Liette. Nice French name, Liette.
Sister Donna Liette, I know you won't accept the title, but you are the most valuable person on the planet to us today.
Okay, today. Yeah.
You come to this work because you were moved to be in this for your life, but it's an extra step to talk about what you're doing with moms who've lost their children. I mean, it's so heartbreaking.
Yes, it really is, and everybody knows how much violence there is in this city. And so almost every day we have a new mother who is grieving over the loss of her child, and sometimes it's even a little three-year-old child. So our other young mothers are also living in this fear of, you know, are their children safe? You know, do they have the resources to provide for them? And so our fundraiser this coming Sunday, October 6th, not this Sunday, but October 6th, will be we need to hire an additional person to help us because there's just two of us working with almost 100 women,
wow,
young women and women who've lost children to violence or incarceration. So we definitely need help with that. But if people come to the fundraiser, the other exciting thing is, you know, we'll intermingle with our supporters. We have so many wonderful people that support our program, like Bridget and her family and others. And they'll see our children working in silk screening and woodworking. They'll see our education lab. They'll see where their money is going and really making a difference. And especially this time for our women and seeing how they're moving forward by the help that we can offer them at Precious Blood Ministry.
As you mentioned, that's pretty incredible that there's only two full-time staff people, and they assist over 100 women. What are some of the services that you're providing them, like specifically? Is it a lot of guidance? Are you available to the women 24 hours a day? How does it work?
Well, pretty much so, 24 hours, but not always. I mean, we're there as much as we can to accompany them and to engage them. And our ministry talks about we particularly work on hospitality, that these women feel welcome, that they have a voice, and that we give them hope and the healing that they need with all the trauma that they experience. But we do a lot of mentoring. We try to be holistic, working with their spiritual, their emotional, their financial, and their educational needs. And so we try to meet all of those, but we lack in some ways because there's not enough resources even in our community, you know, to find affordable housing or to find health care or to help good child care. Those resources are so lacking. So we work a lot toward
doing
the best we can with what we have.
And I'm sure these relationships that you're building, especially in between the women that you're helping, last a lifetime.
Oh, they do. It's just amazing to see when once a month we meet in circle, and there can be as many as 20 women, and some have lost children to violence, some have lost children to the prison system, and how they bond together. And when a new mother comes in who just lost her child, how they embrace her and tell her, you know, we'll work with you on this. You know, we've gone through it, and the resilience that these women have. I mean, it's just so inspirational. Like I always say, it's a privilege and an honor for me to accompany these women and just offer them a safe place. That's what we do. We offer them a safe place where they can tell their stories and where they can feel safe and bonded.
I'm going to give the last word to your friend Bridget Gaynor here. Bridget, this is every bit the amazing woman you said she was.
No, absolutely. I just have to think, you know, as a mother myself, as a parent, you can't imagine going through something like that. But then if you also have to worry about, you know, can you keep your house? Can you worry about that? You need to find childcare. You know, the fact that Sister Donna is able to bring people together, that at the worst moment of someone's life, they're able to not just bring them support, which is incredibly important, but also take care of their actual needs. And that's really what the fundraiser on October 6th is all about. So, Sister, I'll have you give the website for people who can't come, but I would really encourage, if you can come on October 6th at 11, come down to Precious Blood, 51st and Elizabeth. But if not, go on the website and donate, because especially if you've been, you know, lucky enough to have a good life, this is an opportunity to really help people at a moment that they need it.
Yeah,
and I cannot speak enough for how Sister Donna and Father Kelly and everybody run such an incredible organization.
Sister Donna Liette, again, it's next Sunday, October 6th, 11 to 3, 5114 South Elizabeth Street. Website for information or to donate is what?
It's pbmr.org. P for precious, B for blood, M for ministry, R for reconciliation. pbmr.org. And we would really appreciate donations or sponsors to help us with this very important work for the community.
It's MVPP for you, Sister Donna Liette. Thank you very much for all that you do every day.
Well, thank you all, too. And thank you, Bridget, for giving me this opportunity and the WGN. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Bridget. All right. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll come back with your headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
Edelstein and Brady. Edelstein and Brady. They're really going to blow your mind because they're sounding wrong just right. Yeah. Listen to Edelstein and Brady.
740 here at Edelstein. Pat Brady are here. All right, we're here. We've arrived at the first stages of what could be a full impeachment hearing. There's nothing impeachment inquiry in an actual impeachment proceeding. The difference is what, Eric?
It's just a preliminary step. I mean, I think that in many ways, Pelosi has sort of had to give in to the caucus. Inevitable. I think we don't exactly know the timetable on how this will play out.
Why are the Democrats still having so much trouble with messaging, though? Because right now is the time they should be standing up saying, this is our constitutional responsibility to do this. Well, not just screaming, Trump's a criminal.
Well, I think they are. I think they are. I mean, this week's been much better than what we've seen over the past months. I think you talked about it with Chuck a little bit, that the idea of these multiple committees doing this, I think, is a little bit concerning. I mean, I don't. Does it speed up this process or does it delay it? I give Pelosi a lot of credit and I defer to her. I think she is a good strategist. I wonder how the timetable plays out. But look, I think there's a chance this is a jailbreak at this point. That when this whistleblower testifies and this report is now public today, that you're going to have more people coming out of the woodwork. That it seems pretty clear that this phone call was not the actual transcript, but just sort of a summary of it. And there are other phone calls. And look, I think we are kind of at the end of the beginning of the end here. Now, I'm not saying he gets removed from office, but we are definitely in a new place than we were.
The House Intelligence Committee has released the whistleblower complaint. I've got a copy of it in my hand right now. I have not had a chance to read it yet, but the words urgent and concerned jump out immediately. And the blocking of the same by the White House and the Trump administration is one of the main things you're going to have to answer for. But, Pat, first and foremost, as a prosecutor and a guy who knows the government business inside out, is the IG the equivalent of the HR director at most people's offices, somebody you ought to be able to go to safely when you have a complaint about the boss?
Yeah, that's the point of a whistleblower statute. It's supposed to be anonymous so you can feel free to go report things that you think are wrong.
And in this case, the IG is the person that this whistleblower, whoever he or she turns out to be, went to based on concerns over the president. And by the way, the president hasn't denied that these phone calls took place. He's just denying that they were dangerous or problematic in any way.
Well, and let's be clear, the IG was appointed by Trump. So this is not some partisan attack. And this IG has said these complaints were worth investigating.
Yeah, and then it got kicked over to the Justice Department, and they basically sat on it.
I know. So are there going to be any repercussions for the Justice Department at all?
Well, they're too busy dealing with Ukraine, trying to dig up dirt on Joe Biden over there. So Mr. Barr is very busy doing that.
Yeah, as the Attorney General of the United States, a political appointee, it is a political position in name, but it also is supposed to be the person who represents all of us legally as the nation's number one law enforcement individual. Barr can't even see that bar, let alone rise to it.
No. The thing is, I read the letter. I haven't read the whistleblower thing. It just came out, but I read the letter last night. I read it a couple times, and with that former prosecutor perspective, I was underwhelmed. Not that it's not. I'm sure the president's aides were sitting there going, don't do that. And there's reporting that they didn't even want him to do the call because they were afraid he was going to do what he did. But it didn't jump out at me as being something that should immediately go to an impeachment inquiry. I don't know why they decided to do this, the Democrats, so quickly. If it's that bad, let it roll out, then do it.
What I'm holding is actually the letter announcing the release of the whistleblower complaint and the legal basis to do that. We're going to actually look at the whistleblower complaint during the break and come back with it. But some basic questions for both of you that don't involve the political process, but what we're looking at here. There's only four times in this country that impeachment has gone forward. I've said before, I think Clinton should have been removed from office. But it's never gone to that stage. Nixon resigned before it got there. We're lucky here in Illinois.
We've actually got five because we have Rod Blagojevich.
And you and I were talking about this last night. You see parallels between Blago's case and this case?
I see parallels in the behavior in the press conference yesterday when it was said he was very sedated. They immediately go, and Rod did the same thing, they go into victim mode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm persecuted, this is a witch
hunt.
Martyr, my family, work so hard, we all work. Bill Clinton said the same thing. So there must be a script of what you do. You first say you're working hard, and secondly you say how much you love your family and how this is a witch hunt. But there is a script for it.
Eric, my question for you is, there's no political playbook for this.
Right.
Are you... In the long run, is this going to hurt the Democrats with, you know, all of the oxygen in the media and right. D.C. focused on this impeachment hearing? It's going to re-energize his base.
Sure.
It's going to make sure that second and third tier candidates aren't going to have any airtime on the news. The media is going to be manipulated once again to only be talking about Trump.
That is the fear. And let's play it all the way out. And let's say the House brings articles of impeachment and there's a trial in the Senate. And let's say the Senate acts on partisan grounds and they acquit him. And then he's able to run around before the election and say, I've been completely exonerated. They tried and I'm a hero now, right? Yes, that's a problem. However, I think we have to put political considerations aside. I think that we are at a point in this country's history where there's bigger principles at stake.
You would hope.
I mean it. I mean, the problem we have, the reason he continues to do this is because there's no consequence for his behavior.
Well, that's an important point, though. Before you finish, that's an important point. If Donald Trump's anything, he's consistent. The way he has operated as president is the exact same way he operated as a real estate guy in New York in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s and beyond. This wasn't a big secret of who the guy was that we were hiring to be the president of the United States. Now, picking up where you left off.
If I rob banks and I keep getting away with it and nobody comes after me and I don't get arrested, my behavior is reinforced.
Right.
I'm going to keep
again and
robbing
again and again.
Banks. And what's amazing to me, not amazing, I guess, but what is interesting is the behavior that he's doing with this Ukraine president is exactly what he did with the Russia investigation in many ways and what Mueller was critical of. And so you can see this pattern where he says, well, I can get away with it. I can do whatever I want. I'm just saying for the future of the country, not the immediate short term, we have to say this behavior is not okay.
Well, you have to draw a line in the sand and stop it.
Right.
So you can't cross over.
Now let me put my political hat on.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to help him. I think Chuck Todd's exactly right. There is an exhausted middle in this country. Mm-hmm. And I heard it in focus groups not too long ago where people were like, yeah, I think he's done an okay job, but God, it's just so exhausting. Like, why does
it's
he
like
have
a
to
little
keep
bit
doing this?
Late now for the Dems to stand up and take a stand, because now it's like, I want you to be smart. I want the Democratic Party to be smarter. It's like, usually the Dems are the ones that have all of this.
Right.
Usually they're media savvy. It's like it's turned into. I mean, before
maybe Eric,
but before, but it's turned into a situation now where they're not necessarily making the smart move here.
I agree with you. I mean, I look at the calendar and it scares me because this can't be delayed for a year. And I do believe I think the momentum behind the House voting articles as impeachment is out the door. It will happen. So that means then the Senate has to have a trial. And so, you know, that you don't know the consequences of all that.
I've been saying this for 2.5 years. Impeachment is a bad idea politically.
It is.
It's bad for the country.
But they don't have a choice,
though.
They do have a choice. This is not the shot. I haven't read the whistleblower complaint, but from what I read last night, this... And it's bad behavior, complete bad behavior, but I just don't see this as being...
But it's more than bad behavior. This is not Barack Obama. Listen, if Barack Obama was sitting in the White House doing this, he ought to be thrown out.
Well, here's the deal. Let me give you the flip side.
Bill Clinton should have been thrown out in 1998 because it was at that point going forward, the office of the presidency, the same way it was when Nixon resigned, was forever damaged. because we hold that person to a higher standard because they should be. You let this walk now, if there's evidence to move forward, you change the game again.
If. That's, you rest, I rest my, it's if right now. But, and we don't know. They did it too early. And I'm telling you, the middle of this country and a lot of the Republicans, you're going to fire up the Republicans. People don't want this. The Democrats have so mishandled this from the beginning. As we've been saying this for 2 years, you can't, everything's not an outrage. This is just a people are fed up with it. And the Democrats had their shot with the Mueller report. It didn't work out. And I think it's really going to be damaging. I think it helps Republicans.
But, Pat, I do think this is different, and I don't think Democrats have a choice. When you look at the fact pattern, he has admitted, and we've now heard the phone call, where the President of the United States used the foreign policy of this country to advance his own political agenda. He pressured a foreign leader to investigate one of his foes. He used the power of the office corruptly, and that's what's
here. Let me give you the flip side. Let me give you the flip side of this, the argument that the other people will make, that the ones that I hear from, that where they had the Clinton Foundation for years, the Clintons were raising money for that foundation for access to the Secretary of State. You don't think that had foreign policy or national security implications? I'm not saying that's true, but that's the perception of a lot of people out there, that there's a fundamental unfairness with the constant investigations.
Well, I just think the problem that you're falling into, not, and we all are to some extent, when you live at the freak show, the bearded lady's not shocking anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're just used to the freak show.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have too many people in this country because we've been living this spectacle, that's just how it is.
But the end game is he's not going to be impeached. The Senate's never going to vote to impeach him.
Well, that doesn't mean you stop. If the house is on fire, you try to put the fire out.
But there's got to be an end game, a result.
No,
a
that's political. I disagree.
This is a political process.
You guys continue the argument while we take this break, and I will have some highlights, if that's the right word for this, from the now released whistleblower report when we come back.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, I've had time to look at about half of this, and Ryan Burrow's been good enough to bring in notes as well. Here's what we know so far and what will or has been reported. The July 25th presidential phone call, which is at the center of all of this, was done to initiate or continue an investigation to the activities of Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, according to White House officials who have direct knowledge of the call. It was done to assist in purportedly uncovering the allegations of Russian interference in the 26th U.S. presidential election originated in Ukraine, with a specific request that the Ukrainian leader locate and turn over servers used by the DNC and examined by the U.S. security firm CrowdStrike. That's a cybersecurity firm mentioned yesterday multiple times. And also to meet or speak with two people on the president's behalf named explicitly as his personal envoys, Attorney General Barr and Rudy Giuliani. In the IG's complaint here, the whistleblower complaint, Donald Trump expresses conviction that the new Ukrainian government will be able to quickly improve Ukraine's image and complete the investigation of corruption cases that have been held back between Ukraine and the United States. However, the only corruption case in his mind that he wanted addressed was that of Mr. Biden and Hunter Biden. This is what's the word I mentioned earlier, the big Washington word this week, troubling? White House officials said they were directed by White House lawyers to remove the electronic transcript from the computer system of the call immediately because White House officials found it so damaging and move it to a separate computer system, a separate server. So therefore, it would be cyber hidden to some degree.
And classified as well, Steve. That would be a classified server. The server that they would use, typically used, is not necessarily classified for these things, but this would be a special classified server that only certain people would have access to.
Separately, multiple U.S. officials said Mr. Giuliani had reportedly privately reached out to a variety of Zelensky advisors. Again, that's the president of Ukraine that spoke with President Trump yesterday. Now, that's through page 5, Steve, which is as far as I was able to get in the break. What else have you seen?
Well, back to page 3, it's important to note here that this whistleblower, whoever this whistleblower is, was not listening directly to the call, but also says there were nearly a dozen other White House officials, White House senior staff and advisors who were listening in on the call. In addition to the White House personnel, the whistleblower says he was told, who the person was told, a man or a woman was told, that a State Department official also listened to the call. all. And also the other people besides this whistleblower got a readout of the call, apparently went to the State Department and several intelligence community officials as well. So that widens the number of other people who would have known about all of this going down.
Well, the seeming thing here would be that Donald J. Houdini Trump would be able to get out of this by saying that it is a third-party situation. However, the third-party situation turned into a credible and urgent report, according to the Inspector General's office. And there are so many people listed here who could be subpoenaed and be forced to testify in a situation that the third-party argument would seem to fall away. You agree or disagree? Steve?
Oh, Steve. Yeah, I was, Ryan was flagging another part of this here. I'm just going to read over this.
Eric, you know what I mean?
And here's what I would say, Steve. I think there's a very good chance that, again, that other people now come forward. And if they try to discredit this whistleblower because it's a third party, not direct evidence of this, how many other phone calls were there? How many other meetings that people observed that were troubling? How many other things that the White House tried to cover up? And, you know, once you start down this road of impeachment, all that stuff becomes fair game. And I think people become empowered and feel like they can come forward and talk about their concerns about this president. The other thing I'd say, you know, Trump described the call as a beautiful call. And it is beautiful because it just exposes him for who he is. He's a criminal. He's petty. He's single-minded. He's narcissistic. And, you know, he's a sociopath. And all those things are clear in that phone call.
Steve, let me draw your attention to page 7, the top of page 7. The whistleblower says that he or she is concerned about the efforts of Rudy Giuliani mm-hmm. in Ukraine and the meetings he was having there, not only apparently with direction from the State Department, or that's what he says, direction from the State Department. But this whistleblower says, during this time frame, multiple U.S. officials told me that the Ukrainian leadership was led to believe that a meeting or phone call between the president and President Zelensky would depend on whether Zelensky showed willingness to, quote, play ball on the issues that had been publicly aired by Mr. Giuliani and a person that was with him, apparently, in Ukraine, trying to get more information from that Biden investigation.
Well, there's smoke where that fire is, and still fire not, where that smoke
still
is.
Still not enough. I'm telling you, there's investigation fatigue, and when you have to take 2 or 3 minutes to explain the technical legal violations or what law this violated, you lose. I don't like the conduct. I think it's incredibly stupid. But is it going to get him impeached? I don't think so. Is it going to help Republicans in the long run? I really do.
What is going to be enough?
This is not enough right now.
What's going to be enough?
I'm not sure.
Where's the line?
Well, the line is this. It's up to public sentiment, and there's been so much of this. We've got investigation fatigue. So the line is probably, the bar is going to be really high.
Okay, but the lack of honor that exists in any form of politics now was not a problem in 1972 when Republicans crossed over to the White House and went into Richard Nixon and said, you've lost the Senate.
But it was at the very end. And as we've talked about before, that rolled out over a series of very credible investigations, and it's a completely different cast
and
of characters.
Let me say this. This is now, and we said this from the beginning, we said the Trump presidency depended on the Republicans in the Senate, whether they would split with him. I would say now the sort of history of this moment going forward, I don't want to sound too grandiose, is up to the Republican senators. If they acquit him, if we go forward and this stuff comes true, this will be a black mark on the Republican Party for a generation, I believe. And I think on the legacy of all those Republican senators.
And in the same way, Republicans and Democrats count on low turnouts in elections.
Oh, yeah.
The Republican senators are counting on America not paying attention to this, being fatigued, as you've said, Pat, and I agree, there is fatigue, or not caring enough to even be engaged. That's the test.
Yes. But let's game this out a little further. Steve and I were doing the phone last night, so this goes, the impeachment comes out before the end of the year, and they actually, and this is hypothetical, actually they vote to remove him in the Senate or vote to find him guilty. So he's no longer president. Pence is president. He could still be the nominee of the Republican Party in 2020 because the Senate then has to vote to forever ban him from office. So I could, again, this is all just kind of But that's never.
You know
been
what?
Tested.
That's not even far fetched anymore.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Right. I would read.
He'd run to his base and say, "I'm still going to run."
It's still
going to
run, and that people could take the votes in the Senate. I voted to impeach him because of that, but I think it was a witch hunt. I'm going to give him a chance to
that's,
run.
All right, we got to get
a disaster
this.
For the Republican Party. Oh, it's a disaster for everybody. But yeah. that's the way it lays out, right? You know, potentially.
Steve's going to take care of business here in just a second. We got to take a break before the news. But Steve, one last word.
Yeah, there's one from the classified appendix of this whistleblower complaint. The whistleblower talks about, again, remember that. Server that this was moved to, mm-hmm. this transcript was moved to. And so in the complaint, it says, according to White House officials I spoke with, this was not the first time under this administration that a presidential transcript was placed into the code word level system solely for the purpose of protecting politically sensitive rather than national security sensitive information.
Wow. That's the 12 minutes of tape, right?
Yeah, the
that's
18,
the water. The 18
is,
minutes of tape.
There is an
minutes.
Ellipse in the yeah, thing, too. I thought, what right? was your name, Kennedy?
Yeah, Kennedy was Nixon's.
Kennedy
yeah,
was
exactly.
Nixon's. In prosecutor terms,
they're going to demand to see the server now.
They call that consciousness of guilt.
We're going to get my close friend Mitch McConnell on the phone and see what he thinks this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Madigan may be on before
I don't
McConnell.
Know, Steve. I still think a bearded lady is an amazing thing to
That's
see.
It's a great analogy.
We're seeing it, right?
It really is. All right, we got to take a break. News next with the rest of what we have. And still have more entertainment coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me good.
Well, we could use a little break. And when I say little, I mean the small talents of Dean Richards and I for more on entertainment.
The big news morning.
There's a lot going on. A
lot going on.
A lot going on. You know, the weird part is, and I did not see this coming, you and I are both referenced in the IG whistleblower report.
You know me, I enjoy a good whistle.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get another resume credit. All right, I'm trying to get this financed as well. It's called The Whistleblower, Dean.
Yeah.
It's a Broadway play. We'll start it here in Chicago.
Okay.
And, we haven't written it yet, but the background, I see a guy shrouded in darkness, but you see the silhouette, and all he does is walk back and forth whistling.
Actual whistling.
Yeah, the whistleblower.
You know what I admire? The people who can, like really do it musically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go, yeah. You know, like that. But some people can, like, do Mozart sonatas.
Yeah. Without sounding too windy.
Right. We sound like our teeth need adjusting.
There is a skill to that.
Best whistler is Chicagoan musician Andrew Bird. Love
really?
His songs. Yeah.
Okay.
He incorporates whistle and violins and all it's
what's
unbelievable.
What's the Billy Joel song? Is it? It's not Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. With the whistling.
Leave a Tender Moment Alone.
How come no one knows that?
It's I feel like Italian restaurant song.
Is that Scenes from an Italian Restaurant?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, at the beginning, isn't it?
I don't know who's whistling in that, but they nail it.
Yeah.
All right, more whistling talk coming up later. All right.
I got my whistle on here.
You're really crushing it. All right, let's see if we can do the theme.
Ladies
from
and gentlemen,
Andy Griffith.
Now in the category of stupidest conversation we've ever had.
Right. Well, it's up there, but it's not actually a winner yet. So let's try the Andy Griffith theme. No, you can't start a different song.
Well, it's the same. There's only one. Da-da-da. Da, 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 da. What are you whistling?
I don't know now because I was trying to whistle Andy Griffith and I thought you were taking me down a different whistle
All right,
road.
Go ahead.
I don't remember what it is now.
This is how Martin and Lewis broke up. Who? Mom, Grandma, who's Martin and Lewis?
And of course, you mean their brothers, Shecky Martin and Phil Lewis.
And Sherry Lewis, the puppeteer.
Yeah, the puppet, yeah. All right, so how was New York?
New York was beautiful. Weather was nice. You know, it's New York-y. I'm always...
I'm practicing while you talk.
I'm always amazed at how they put the garbage out on the sidewalk.
It's so weird, right?
At night.
It's just so weird.
I went to a screening.
Well, and the reason is there's no alleys in New York.
There are no alleys in New York. And the streets, in the morning, the streets are meticulous. I mean, they pick up all the garbage and
yeah, but you know what they do? And if you got to be up early or up late.
They pick up the garbage, and then these giant trucks come through and power wash the sidewalks.
Yeah.
So you get up in the morning, and it looks like there was this horrendous monsoon. No, they're just trying to get the off the sidewalks where people are walking soon.
Right. But it's weird. I got out of a movie around, 9 or 10 o'clock. There are garbage bags everywhere. Everywhere. And then
that's why a lot of Chicago rats vacation in New York.
Go to bed, get up early, went out to get a cup of coffee. Streets are meticulous. Yeah. Perfectly. It's something that's so New York-y. Saw the new Netflix. I saw one episode of the new Netflix series, The Politician, that stars our friend Ben Platt, who was in Pitch Perfect. He won a Tony Award for Dear Evan Hansen. Was in the Book of Mormon here in Chicago.
Well, you talked to him, right?
Yeah, we had a nice...
we have that clip, Joe? Ben Platt?
Yeah, talking about his memories of 9 months here in Chicago.
What do you remember from your time in Chicago? I remember it so fondly from the show and the opportunity to kind of get to know you a little bit back then.
First and foremost, the pizza and Girl and the Goat and the Little Goat Diner.
Yes! Look at you.
I used to work there.
Theo lives in Chicago. He knows much, more about Chicago than I do. But I think I just remember mostly that everybody being so, particularly the theater community, which I'm sure Theo can also speak to, is just so, it's just much like New York in the sense that it's a really smart audience, and an audience that really is interested in new things and interesting things and it's kind of like a cleaner New York a little bit. No shade to New York. I love New York. It's my home.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a similar vibe, but like a little more sanitary, a little more polite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, even he says it. Even he says Chicago's cleaner.
That's a first verse. I'm going to have it so nailed by the time we come back. Kit Harington, Nick Cannon, Kylie Jenner, Kanye. Amongst those appearing soon.
Opie, you get in this house right now and wash your hands.
That doesn't sound like Andy Griffith.
Go ahead and do your Queen Elizabeth.
Let's go to the filling station.
Which is also his Aunt B impersonation.
It's actually very close. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. All right, more with Dan in a second. It's more on entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 720.
It's I-27. And we continue with more on entertainment. Before I get to the rest of the listing,
yes.
In our age of videoing everything,
yep.
Taking pictures of everything, I want to be careful here because I don't want to prejudge this woman. But a mother of a little girl in West Villa Park took a video of a coyote chasing her daughter around the yard. Now, apparently the little girl's okay, which is the main thing.
Steve, no, she didn't take that video. That was a door camera.
Oh, thank God. I thought the woman actually took the video.
And, she's a neighbor of my son's girlfriend.
All right, good, good. Well, I'm glad you corrected me because I couldn't imagine a parent doing that.
No. She was in the house, and I think the father was in the house as well, and then he came out afterwards, and right, the good. Little girl was
good,
out
good,
there
good,
running.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, the kid's okay. I just couldn't imagine a parent stopping to video saving your kid.
That would be wrong, yeah.
Well, what a freak show that is. And coyotes have sort of overrun the area. There are some in Dean's office right now. He doesn't even know. They're very, very sneaky.
I thought I felt something fuzzy on the floor.
And you thought that was Paul Conrad?
Sometimes he'll take a nap down there.
Yeah. Nick Cannon
is going to get his own talk show. He filled in for Wendy Williams when she was out with some health issues, and the producers liked what he did so much. They gave him his own talk show that will debut next year.
With turban or without?
I hope with turban. I hope that becomes his regular signature look. The way Johnny Carson used to do the golf swing,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Nick Cannon always comes out with turban.
Kylie Jenner in the hospital. Is she going to be okay, Dean?
Yeah, it looks like Kylie will be okay, little Stevie.
Couldn't Kylie Jenner buy a hospital?
She could buy several hospitals, actually. Right. She went into the hospital with flu-like symptoms. Her representative said that she's under doctor's care and will be okay. But here's the tragedy of this whole story. She will be unable to travel to Paris Fashion Week, which is beginning right now, to introduce her new line of cosmetics, which I know Steve has been looking forward to. I've been looking forward to because you can never get enough eyeliner.
I like a good concealer. And somebody said you should get a pirate patch. For the bags under my eyes.
Right. Somebody just told me I should get a bag.
That's not, right. Not a concealer.
That's not right. That's not even helpful at all. But poor Kylie Jenner will not be. We are very sorry.
That's right.
Kylie will not be.
So she can't go to Paris?
In Paris.
What about Kanye? What's going on there?
Kanye was supposed to drop a new album, as the kids like to say, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A new album, which is titled Jesus is King. It's supposed to be a very gospel-oriented album.
Well, musically, it's probably pretty good.
He's been doing these Sunday services all over the country, and... I guess it's inspirational and spiritual music that he's been performing there. But the album, there actually has been no comment from Kanye's camp on this, but the record company president flew to Wyoming, where Kanye is right now, and they're trying to get things going and speeding things up because sources close to Kanye say the album is not going to be released tomorrow.
All right, now I'm looking at a map. I don't know if we'll get to this later in the show, but it's the richest Americans in every state. Didn't you think it was Larry?
Potash?
Yeah. Because he makes a lot of money.
Yeah, he does. He does make quite a bit of money.
The richest person in Illinois is?
It's not J.B. Pritzker, is it?
Ken Griffin. Mm. Ken Griffin, the big shot investor. Mm. Just short of $10 billion for his net worth. And, of course... Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett are your one and two. Bezos at $115 billion. Is that after he gave half of it to his ex-wife?
Yeah, don't know.
And $83.5 billion for Warren Buffett.
Don't know the split.
All right, now watch out for those coyotes there in the newsroom.
I will say that some of those people are also giving away. I'm sure there are great tax benefits, but some of them are very charitable and...
Yeah, well, Gates. Gates started the...
Giving out money to...
Gates and Buffett are both giving away 90% of their net worth.
Right. Same with me.
Right. And in your case, it's 47 bucks.
It's not the point.
It's the generosity.
You're
Thank
missing
you.
The point.
Thank you. Headlines coming up, 720 WGN.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
How much money do you think you'll need in retirement?
No, not much. 105, 500, a lot. If you have kids and all that, they're very important. Thousands of bucks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Ba da 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 da. I read that part. The ba da 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 da. 841 G, the acting director of National Intelligence, is testifying on Capitol Hill now. Started about 15, 20 minutes after the whistleblower complaint was declassified and released. Steve and Ryan, everybody in the newsroom, keep an eye on that. So if something breaks, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, that's happening. We will not be on CLTV today because CLTV is covering that. I thought it'd be cool if they did like a split screen. On one side, you have the really important news they should cover. On the other side, they have this goofy show.
Hmm. Oh, now I can eat my banana. No one will see me.
Oh, and by the way, Mary Vandeveld, we got a bunch of texts. You're a Billy Joel fan. I'm a Billy Joel fan. I look like the older, nearly dead Billy Joel. Dave, you're a Billy Joel fan.
Yes, I am.
And we screwed this one up, didn't we?
The whistling. Well, no, that's fine. The whistling song, The Stranger.
Yeah. Oh. I always get those two songs mixed up,
Yeah, same
though.
Here.
Because they're just so instrumental and beautiful, and yeah.
Oh, right. Boy. That's
was that a little breath? Was that a little breathy?
You're breathy.
Whistling is
Ted
a little
breathy.
Little 1-900.
It's 8:42. The great Bill Geiger is here. Nice to see you, Bill. It's been a while.
Good to be back, sir.
And Bill Geiger can tell you everything you need to know about retirement twice, because the first time you may not be listening to enough, and you didn't take the notes. And how's Biz?
Busy.
Good.
Very, very busy.
You like busy.
Busy. All people are talking about right now, Steve, is the potential of a recession coming up.
Well, where are you on that?
I'm a little bit worried, and I'm a little bit worried for three different reasons. I'm sure you've heard people talking about an inverted yield curve. Mm-hmm. What that means in plain English is short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. And why that's important is there's been an inverted yield curve before every recession in the last 50 years.
So for 50 years, we have statistical evidence that one follows the other. Why wouldn't it now?
That's right. On top of that, we've got a trade war with China going on. And, oh, by the way, the President of the United States is being impeached. You put those three together, and we're real concerned about a recession, and our big deal right now is protecting our clients from that.
There's a massive amount of cash out there, you know, maybe a record amount of cash. In a recession, do people just hold on to their cash?
Well, until the bottom.
Okay.
Until the bottom, until the stock market hits the very bottom, yeah.
And we don't know what the bottom is anymore, because at 25, 26,000, the bottom could be 16 or 17 or 15 or whatever.
Well, the problem is it's been so long since the last correction, and not that that's really a problem, but people forget that it can happen. And if you are getting close to retirement and you've already won the game, you've got the money that you need, you probably shouldn't keep playing the same way. If
sure.
Think about this. If you're up two touchdowns and you're in the fourth quarter, you're gonna play differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, right. And you know, that's what we're doing for our clients is we're hedging their stock portfolios. We're keeping them fully invested, but we're hedging them. So if there is a big downturn, you know, maybe they can contain that to something very shallow for themselves. They can still keep participating.
Geiger Wealth Management. Well, that's the key, because if you get asked this question once a day, you get asked it 100 times a day, how much do I need to retire? And there's no magic number.
No, but you know it when you get there, at least our clients do.
Right.
I mean, you know it when you get there, and the point is if you've made that, if you could retire right now or very close to it, you want to protect that, and with the potential of a recession coming up, then you need to do something actively to make sure you don't have a big loss. I mean, everybody wants to continue to participate in this market. It's been going up and going
sure.
up and going up, but we're going to do that too now, but we're going to protect ourselves at the same time.
I'm 58. I'm right at that number that you talk about all the time.
If you're knocking on the door.
Late 50s, early 60s,
yes,
you
sir.
Need to have this buttoned up, because if something were to happen like an 07, 08, people my age or older don't necessarily have the time to make up what they lost like we did 10 years ago.
Oh, it could take you 6, 7, 8 years mm-hmm. just to get back to where you're at right now.
Right.
And most folks are you know, they're getting close to retirement. They think, well, I'd like my portfolio to be a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
just to be on the safe side. Well, if you lose half of it, you're not going to be at that point. You're lucky if you get back to where you were. And you know, part of the time, I think the major part of my job is to keep people from getting poor. You know,
well, sometimes it is to protect them from themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's so comfortable, it's so nice to look at your 401k statement or online every morning and see it bigger that you kind of forget that doesn't go on forever.
If you've achieved a level of success and you want to maintain a nice lifestyle, maybe you have an ego that's too big to listen to advice. What do you do with that type of customer?
Just keep talking softly. Just do what you can.
I guess the thing I would fall back on is what I say to people all the time. I want the people that train to be the pilot to fly the plane.
Yeah.
You do retirement every day. You know more about it than I do. And you should be the expert in this. But we live in a time where everybody questions everybody, even though they went to school for the thing or they're doing the thing or whatever. It makes me crazy.
You know, and a lot of folks feel like they can do this on autopilot, right? And when I'm on a plane and we're cruising at 45,000 feet, I have no problem with autopilot. But I surely wouldn't want them to use it landing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need some professional advice there.
Yeah, I'd like the pilot to be conscious in the cockpit and ready to go if needed.
And not drinking and all that stuff, right?
Right. Now, yeah. Gee, you're in a different spot in your life.
Yes.
You're 14.
Yes, I am.
Do you worry about your mom?
I think there's a lot of us. I'm probably going to have to take care of my mother. So it's like you have to, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that will have to actually help their parents out.
My question for you is, if you know, if you suspect that a recession is coming, and this inverted yield curve,
right,
what do we do to protect our, you know, investments and 401ks? Like, what do you suggest moving investments? Like, what do we do?
Well, here's the problem, G. Nobody wants to go to cash. Nobody just wants to sell their stock and sit on the
sideline. I wish I could have a pile of gold bars or something like that.
Well, it's because you're afraid of missing out. You're afraid the market's going to continue to go higher. And the really smart thing to do at this point is to hedge your portfolio. And I don't want to get down in the weeds on this, but it's basically like having a little insurance policy. If the market goes down,
we take out the risk while you make safe investments.
Yeah, think about this. You have insurance on your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had water damage to your house, that's going to cost something. Mm-hmm. But if the insurance company comes up with a check, then you're okay, right?
So
you can stay whole.
Safe investments, does that mean like domestic stock? What does that mean? Like what?
I suppose it depends on the day and the week, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not so much you're changing the investments as you're adding some protection to it. You're adding a hedge to it. You're adding a protection.
Got it.
If it goes down, you're making money on that side.
Bill does a nice thing for me. If I lose any money at all, he replaces it for his own wallet.
He is the insurance policy.
I just wire him some money.
I have a lot of friends that are doing risky investments. They're investing a lot into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And
is there anything riskier than Bitcoin? Handling TNT while you're drinking?
Hey, some of them have done pretty well, but I mean, it's, you know, I guess it's...
Well, that's the ultimate day trader, right? You get in, you better know when to get out fast.
You know, most of our clients are late 50s, early 60s.
You don't recommend that.
The last thing I would recommend for them is Bitcoin.
All right, so if you're worried about your portfolio and you're, say, 70.
Okay.
Or 75 and you're healthy, is that a different look?
No, 70, 75, you need to protect that portfolio, too.
Same way.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to have a big loss?
Nobody.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's the point. You don't have to. You can protect your portfolio. You can hedge it. You can have some protection against a big downside and just continue making money if that's what happens with the market. But if it doesn't, if we do have a recession, if we do have a big market downturn, instead of going down 50%, maybe you go down 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a whole heck of a lot more fun than 50.
Yeah, 50 is a problem.
50 is a problem.
Yeah. I just assume I'm going to be working till I'm 90.
Well, see, I'm exaggerating only slightly when I say this. I lost half my money on 9/11. I lost the other half on 2007 and 2008.
Oh, wow.
In both cases, I was able to make it back. It's not half, literally, but that's the kind of feel that you have because both were significant.
Yeah,
that's what I would now need to avoid, our 70-year-old friend would need to avoid, and anybody in that age group.
Yeah, when you had that big loss, that was 10, no, it was 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were in your teens also, right?
I was just 19 at the time.
Right, 19. So that was 11 years ago. You're 5 or 6 years from retirement. You don't have 11 years to get back and actually make money.
Exactly.
What I'm beginning to understand is, since I know nothing about this, just need to entrust somebody trustworthy to take care of this for you.
Yeah, you're looking at him. All right, so let's do this. Let's give him an offer that you'd like to present.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on the air. Let's do something special. If you're listening to this show and you're a little bit concerned about a potential recession, you're getting close to retirement, the first 5 callers that call in today, we're going to sit down and do a complimentary, full-blown financial plan for you for your retirement. And included in that, we're going to help you understand how much risk you have, and we'll make some recommendations for how to protect your portfolio.
So at the end of that meeting, I'll have something I can take with me.
You'll have a plan.
The most realistic look of what I should be doing.
Yes, sir.
And then if I want to keep working with you, I can certainly do that.
Or
go
you can
there.
Go someplace else.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good offer, I'd say. So if you've set aside $500,000 or more for retirement, be one of those first 5 callers now at 800-681-2498 at this stage of your life. Maybe you do have more money than you've ever had before. Well, why not keep it? Why not let that money make more money?
Amen.
Nobody's bulletproof, but let's do as much as we can to make sure that your next 20 to 30 years are, in fact, the better, if not the best years of your life. Bill and his team are going to translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps to help you figure out all of the mystery of retirement. Call Geiger Wealth now for your complimentary, personalized, full-blown retirement plan. Don't put this off. Do it. 800-681-2498. 800-681-2498.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're just talking about money. I mentioned I have this map of the richest people in every state in the nation, Ken Griffin being the richest one in Illinois. You have a favorite state? You'd like to know who the richest person is?
Who is the richest person in Iowa?
Richest person in Iowa. You know, I'm really glad you asked me about that, because the richest person in Iowa appears to be Carl Cook. Carl Cook. No, I'm sorry, that's not Iowa. That's a very confusing map now that I actually spent some time looking at it. There's Illinois. Maybe it is Carl Cook.
I feel
Carl Cook, $16 billion.
I feel very depressed. I mean, already.
Dave, would you like to request a state?
Yes, Colorado.
Colorado. It appears the richest person in Colorado may be Harry Stein at $5.38 billion. Mm.
Do we know how these people made their money?
No, I only know the famous ones.
Okay. Is marijuana involved?
Marijuana, the richest person in marijuana? Oh, that's not a state. No.
How about Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, yes, of course. The richest person in Wisconsin would be the guy that opens all those Culver's.
Butterburgers.
I mean, the Culver's guy, come on.
The great thing, I mean, it's like the really, really rich, like the 1% of the 1%. It's just like their money just makes money. Like the money just has babies in the bank.
This is a perfect example of that. The richest person in Wisconsin appears to be John Menard Jr. from Menards.
Wow.
Really?
So Menards makes more money.
Alaska.
Richest person in Alaska is Jonathan Rubini. And Leonard Hyde, they're tied, $300 million apiece.
Hmm.
By the way, Alaska appears to be the only state that the richest person's not a billionaire.
Wow. Huh.
Igloos don't cost as much as houses, man. Come on.
Yeah.
They probably don't live there either.
I
at least not year-round.
Yeah. I don't have a portfolio, Steve. I dream of just having... I have a folder, a flimsy, thin manila folder currently.
Well, we can get you a nice folder.
I dream of having a trapper keeper.
You know what I find interesting about this map, this money map, is the richest people in the country, with the exception of Mark Zuckerberg and Michael Bloomberg, all appear to live in small states you don't necessarily think of in regards to wealth. Warren Buffett in Omaha.
Is it because of tax cuts?
No, I think it's just a matter of circumstance. Jeff Bezos in Washington. The Waltons in Arkansas. Charles Koch, I believe, is in Missouri. Zuckerberg's in California. Bloomberg's in New York. Other than that, all the super rich people are in smaller states. Isn't that fascinating? Or am I just tired?
It's because they have dozens of homes all around the world.
Hmm.
So they can just claim that state.
Yeah, you might be right. Jacqueline Mars from the Mars Candy Fortune, $43.6 billion. I believe is that New Jersey, maybe? Delaware? Mars. I don't know. It's one of your smaller states.
Hmm.
But honestly, if you're going to go anywhere to, you know, meet somebody that's worth a lot of dough, we were talking about you hooking up with a doctor last week, I would suggest you go to, you know, these smaller towns and smaller states, because that's where the rich people are.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I don't think. I think that's where their main residence is. Hmm. I think they probably live somewhere fancy.
And I was wrong about the $1 billion threshold. There's also R. Gore and E. Snyder, worth $885 million.
Why are you looking at this map? What's happening today?
Fascinated by it. I don't know. And they appear to be in Delaware, the Gores and Snyders. All right, this fascinating Richest American in Each State segment will be available by podcast, I'm sure. Oh, we're out of podcast space? Okay.
Yeah, you're going to make it a duo with the whistling podcast.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next with Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
After 9:30, we'll give you a little more detailed look at something I didn't expect to say today. Hey, the IG's whistleblower report is in. The complaint. What the hell's going on in this country? Huh? Got any answers?
Rates are low.
David Hochberg's here. Good morning, Mr. Hochberg.
Hey, guys.
We're talking about a lot of money today. We tried to get you retired last half hour. Now we're going to try to get you in a better rate in your house.
Absolutely.
And answer all the questions you might have.
Yeah, we're going to review stretching exercises for our Pilates class. I booked a Pilates teacher and a yoga teacher private for just you and I.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Yes. You know, a lot of people have said, Steve, and I said, what?
Yep.
They said, is there any chance you and Hochberg are going to be doing team yoga?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be great.
In Prague. How ironic
exactly right.
is that?
That's exactly right.
Who had that?
Are you staying at our hotel?
I'm staying at your hotel with all the other people that are going.
I thought you guys were sharing a suite.
You think I got a tent in the lobby?
I haven't figured out how to say this, but in Czech, I'm trying to figure out how to say we'll leave the light on for you.
or please leave me alone.
We'll have to ask Vera.
Anyway, that's good. It's going to be a fun trip.
Yeah.
It's almost hockey season.
When are we leaving?
Next Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
It's less than a week.
Is it morning or night?
Well, it's night. Every time you fly to Europe, you have to leave.
Okay, we have to leave at night? Okay, so I've got... I have no idea. I know it's next week, but it's Wednesday.
Have you been to Europe?
I've been to Europe a couple times.
Where did you go?
I went on a trip, another radio station, up and down the Dalmatian coast.
That's where all the Dalmatians are?
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful. All
there 1,001
dogs? Yeah, yeah. Glenn Close was there. She made a special appearance. It was fantastic.
And what else? You said you took two trips.
I took two trips. Oh, I went with my wife on our honeymoon to Italy.
Oh, very nice.
That's considered Europe, right?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. I got an 18 in my... I didn't do too good in geography. Yeah.
Yeah, super southern Europe, I like to call
it. Math, I'm good.
Yeah. You've not done London or Paris?
I have not done London or Paris.
Well, maybe you and I take a little romantic break from Prague and head over to Paris.
We take the tube?
Yeah.
Yeah, after our Pilates class and yoga class. We'll be all stretched out, be able to sit on a tube, a train for a couple, 3 hours.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I think it'd be fantastic.
And, of course, Vivian is always plugging Greece. I've not been to Greece.
I've never been to Greece. I hear they got great chicken.
I have been to Greece.
The Greek chicken?
Yeah. I hear it's delicious.
Did you go to the Greek islands, or did you go to Athens, or what did you do?
I went to Athens, and I went to Mykonos, and had drank a lot of ouzo. I think that's right, Vivian.
Santorini is another great island, right? Yeah. I hear
Greece. Santorini,
yes. Yeah, it's supposed to be beautiful. I've never been.
Gorgeous. Well, we're out of time. Very romantic.
Okay. I'll see you Wednesday at O'Hare. Can you pick me up?
All right, so the market is not down as much as one might expect based on the morning's news. What about the rates today for you in the mortgage business?
Rates are still good. They kind of ticked up a little bit. Everybody thinks that, the prime interest rate dropped and mortgage interest rates collapsed. Absolutely, they kind of ticked up a little bit, and it doesn't correspond hand in hand like that, but the lead up to the rate cut a couple of weeks before, the market went down. So to try to explain that to folks after you lock them into a rate, I heard the rates just dropped a quarter. Well, actually, they went up, and they don't believe you. But it's a fluid market. It's based upon the bonds. And right now, rates are still in the high threes for 30-year, Steve, low fours. It's still a great time. Okay, it's still a great time to refinance. If you're taking money out, there's going to be loan-level price adjusters. So if you take cash out, you're not going to get in the threes right now with the 30-year. If you're going to 80% cash out, which we're doing for a lot of folks to pay off more expensive, higher interest rate credit cards, student loans, judgments, doctor bills, collections, all that stuff. So
what's the risk of a cash out?
What's the risk of a cash out?
Yeah, that you get approved for too much of a cash out?
No. You see, I get that all the time. Well, I get accused of taking money out of people's homes. As if I grab them by the head and make them call me to say, please help me take equity out of my home to pay off my high interest rate credit card debt. The only challenge is this, right? I get this battle all the time. I have a 30-year fixed loan, and it's a great loan at 3.5% that I took out 6 years ago. Great, congratulations! Right, that you hit it at the bottom or right around the bottom. Congratulations! But you're sitting with $60,000 with credit card debt. Okay, over here, and that credit card debt's It's cost you more than what you're paying on your mortgage.
It's a problem. I'm not going to lie to you, David. That's a problem.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, they call me up and they're like, well, I got this boat over here. It's so beautiful. 3.5% loan. I go, yeah, but you're taking on water and you're sinking. I go, I've got another vessel over here. It's not as pretty. Okay. But it doesn't have any holes in it. Might be a little, it might have dented paint on it and scratch paint. I go with the dented paint because I'm big into dented paint. Mm-hmm. It might not look as good as the 3.5% 30-year fixed loan, but the overall monthly payment, a slightly higher interest rate, it's still a better vehicle.
Well, I would go too with this general line of thinking. I'm not good at very many things.
I agree.
But I'm good at doing this.
Yes.
So,
you're analogizing for me?
Okay. Trust me, it's turning into a compliment.
Okay, thanks.
Dave isn't good at very many things, but he's really good at sports.
And it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to clear that.
Thank you. Yeah. So the pilot that flies the plane ought to be the one that flies the plane.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be questioning the fact that the pilot's flying the plane. The doctor knows more than you do about medicine and more than you can find online. Hochberg knows more about mortgaging and refi than we do. So why not go to the expert?
Well, I would agree with that statement.
I have.
He has.
Oh, I know. Why am I yelling at you?
Oh, okay. We're talking about I'm not good at many things.
Well, no, you're not. But this, in particular, was
he's really,
really
good at
choice.
Calling me for his mortgages. And we've done a couple.
Yeah.
Is that the main reason why people come to refinance is because of other debt that they have?
No. I had a guy yesterday, had to pay off his wife in a divorce settlement.
Okay.
Had to take out equity. I had another situation the other day. The parents passed away, left the house to three siblings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the siblings was living in the house, taking care of the last relative that happened, the last parent that happened to be the mom. Home was worth, like, just keep it simple, $300,000. The daughter that was living in the house, taking care of the mom, wanted to live in the house because that was her primary residence over the past 6 years while she took care of mom before mom passed away. Home was free and clear, paid off. The house was left to the three siblings, so very simple. $200,000 cash out. Each one of the siblings was to receive a third of the value of the house. Home's worth $300,000 in this example, to keep it simple. She took out a $200,000 mortgage, paid off the two other sisters. She now has a $200,000 mortgage, $100,000 of equity in the home in order to take over the house. So there's another perfect example. We've got an 87-year-old lady in Skokie who's outlived her assets. Completely outlived her, never thought she'd make it to 87. She's completely blown out her 401k and her IRA and whatever it is, and she can't live on $1,348 in her Social Security. We're helping her with a reverse mortgage in order to continue to live in the house that she's lived in for the past 50 years and raise three kids and grandkids.
And she doesn't want to leave.
So it's not just for refinancing. People are taking advantage of the lower rates, going out of 5, 6, 7% loans and going into shorter term loans, where they could take advantage of knocking off 4, 5, 6. One guy knocked off 10 years worth of mortgage payments at the same payment at a lower rate with a shorter term and saving. He stopped by the office yesterday, dropped out. So he's like, I'm saving $150,000 over the life of the loan by just paying it off. He was paying his loan off 7 years quicker, $2,000 a month mortgage payment. He's now living in Del Webb, okay, in Huntley.
Yeah, that's Huntley.
There's another one in Mundelein, okay? And he's like, hey, I was at 5-something%. Your guys got me into the threes on a 20-year. I'm going to pay it off 7 years quicker.
He's a happy camper.
He's ecstatic.
And he's not aiming to camp.
He's got bad knees and a bad back, and he's doing backflips. I mean, that just tells you the power of what we do here.
Hochberg is a math nerd, which is why he loves this number stuff. And if you go, oh, I said there'd be no math, he does the math for you.
Yeah.
And we'll come back. We'll talk some more. But if somebody has a question they want to throw at you, text-wise, 312-981-7200. And by the way, it can be on anything. It doesn't have to be on mortgages or refi. It could be on love.
Childbearing. child raising. Relationships. I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
I've got three girls. My wife raises them, but I'm there. I can tell you just how to be there and not get in the way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's the key.
I'm very good at that.
Show up, shut up.
Yep. Just don't screw it up.
Just make sure the check's in every other Friday, and I'm good.
Your wife's lovely.
Oh, she's the best.
Is she coming to Prague with us?
There's a good possibility maybe she is.
Depends on how things go over the next week.
We've got some things going on that can't talk about on the radio, but thanks for bringing it up. But,
I hate to bring this up to you. You're going to need to have that ticketed soon.
It's already ticketed. No. She's scheduled to go. We don't know if...
Scheduled to appear.
We have a ticket for her to arrive at O'Hare and join me. If that's going to actually happen, well, I'll let you know Wednesday night, when 7?
You want to cry it out on the show?
I'm fine. I'm fine right now.
Okay.
It's just more time that we could spend together bonding.
Okay. 922. We're coming back with more in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hey, if you're purchasing a new home, you need to contact your trusted local lender. David Hochberg, you have any idea who that person is?
That would be a guy by the name of David Hochberg, a team Hochberg.
Not your bank, not an online lender, not your realtor's preferred lender. I'll give you a little story, David.
I'd like these.
Jen lived at home to pay off student loans and save for a down payment. Now, she began her property search online, but was inundated with calls and text messages from realtors and their preferred lenders, and she didn't know these people.
Not at all.
Everybody's bugging her.
Yes.
Jen!
Jamming her with high rates.
Come with me, Jen!
Inaccurate information.
No, you don't need that.
Not returning her phone calls.
Confused and overwhelmed, she asked her dad for advice. You know what her dad said?
Call me.
Call you?
Her dad was a cop, by the way.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you for your service.
Yep.
The only lender that your dad trusted, Jen, is this guy right here, David Hochberg. Team Hochberg answered Jen's questions, approved her to purchase a home, and introduced her to one of your own realtors. How does that work? Do you have a team of realtors? Do you have realtors standing by at any time?
Right now.
24-7. 24-7.
We have five realtors ready to go, depending on the area that you're looking to purchase in.
Did you say realtor?
It's realtor. I got in trouble one time. Some guy.
I got in trouble too.
I said
I never
realtor.
Remember if it's realtor or realtor.
No,
it's realtor.
Don't say realtor. It's realtor.
Realtor.
Because I had some realtor call me up and leave me a snarky message saying, mm-hmm. if you're going to advertise, you should know what our name is. We're realtors. We're not realtors. Realtors.
Okay, like, right, maybe you should be out selling a house, too.
Maybe you should pop some Ambien and relax. Just a decaf.
Just so you guys know, we get the most listeners calling into the newsroom complaining about you guys saying realtor. I just want to say at least so, two or three a week.
So when we say realtor, it actually annoys them.
Yes.
You can't make everybody happy, Steve. You know that.
Locating and financing a home won't be stressful if you call Team Hochberg. Here's what you do. Go 855-56-DAVID or 56David.com. Team Hochberg has helped me. You helped me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Helped your son, helped your daughter.
Got me out of the gutter.
Yep.
Thousands of WGN listeners as well, but they can't help you if you don't call. 855. This isn't a psychic service, Dave.
No.
Harper isn't a psychic. He's trying to help you.
No.
But you got to call him. You got to take the first step. 855-56-DAVID. 56David.com. Homeside Financial and Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 1124061.
Seven decades of Cubs baseball on WGN-TV. And Friday, they'll bring them home to you again. Cubs Cardinals, Friday at 7 on WGN-TV.
Okay. When's the Joe Madden meeting with management?
Well, it could be happening any time.
Okay.
Probably won't be one conversation. I would imagine there'll be a few.
Well, I don't know. I've been fired a lot. Generally, it just takes one conversation.
Well, yeah, yes, you would know.
Are those long conversations?
Not a lot of long of those.
Is there any feedback from? I had one conversation in particular was, here's your severance check. You've got 10 minutes to get out of your office. And I said, I got 5 years worth of stuff in the office. And I looked at the check and said, I can do it in 8. All right, back with David Hochberg here for a couple more minutes. All right, so question right off the bat here from someone online, and that is no longer on my message feed. I thought this text system was supposed to be better. Apparently it's not.
Do you remember the gist of it?
Hmm.
I guess that's the answer.
Yeah. So anyway, how you doing?
I'm great. We're going to be going to Prague.
Did we tell you?
Next Wednesday?
Yeah, we
can. And by the way, special for everybody going on the Hawks trip. If you bring your mortgage statement, I'm going to buy the Wi-Fi, and I can run credit and do mortgage evaluations at 40,000 feet while we're going to wherever we're going.
This is why your wife's not going, because you're working on the plane.
Well, she probably wants 5 days off.
Oh, that's true. I didn't actually consider that.
Think about that.
What is the number one question you've got? Oh, here it is. Has mortgage strategy changed with the tax law changes? With the new tax law, the higher standard deduction means not itemizing for a lot of people. Has that changed the business?
No, it hasn't changed the business. It just screwed over homeowners here in Illinois, not being able to write off more than $10,000 worth of real estate taxes. People still have, unfortunately, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of debt. And what happened was a lot of those folks got further into debt because they were expecting a tax refund from the real estate tax bill last year when they filed their taxes that never came through because of the new law. So it really hurt a lot of people, really hurt a lot of folks, and you just gotta adjust and manage it. You know, just like, 18 cents more for gas. Oh, it's no big deal. It's only 18 cents more. Hey, it adds up. Two cars, right? Schlepping the kids around. It adds up. So
making smart moves. I mean, just complaining about the circumstances politicians put you in doesn't change anything.
Doesn't change
anything. Take advantage of the bad news where you can.
And take advantage of the low rates while you can.
Right. Right.
I mean, listen, I talked to a guy in the gym, you know, just now over a month ago, when he finally sent me his mortgage statement. He's like, yeah, I sent it to you last night. I said, okay, you know, he thinks he's moving in a couple of years. And I said, you know what, let's refinance you. If we could cover the closing costs, give you a closing cost credit, you're still saving money. Why is that a bad thing? You know, John's friend called me up. Well, you know who they are. I'm not going to say it is. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, well, you know, we're paying extra. Long story short, put him into a 20-year, gave him a full closing cost credit. They're saving like $15 a month, and they're just knocking the bejeezers out of what they were adding on top of it.
Gee, that's a technical term, knocking the bejeezers out of it.
Yeah, that means paying off the principal.
Texter says, I bought my house in January of 2019. Is it too early to refi?
No.
No, and when she bought her home, and he or she bought her home in 2019, at the end of that time period, rates were super high. At the end of 18, so it, thanks for
this is a perfect time.
Thanks for reminding me, because you know I go off on tangents. It's one of my challenges. I know. So if you took out a loan at this time last year, October, November, December, you're starting with 4.5 to 5.
That's what I'm saying.
Some people are like 5.25. Of course, you should call 855-56 David.
Yeah.
I mean, consultation's free. Best four-letter word in English language starts with an F.
Yeah.
Right?
Free.
Free.
F-R-E-E.
Right.
All right. So how do people get a hold of you?
It's very simple. You could go to O'Hare Wednesday.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that.
No.
A quicker way.
855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. And
if you're going on the trip to Prague and you want to bring your entire financial portfolio in a manila folder that's 8 inches thick,
be great.
Bring it on so David can go through.
Not recommended. I just need a mortgage statement.
Okay.
And I'll have an open seat, I think, next to me so I can just rotate them through. I can just rotate them through. I can run credit. I got a security screen on there. I'll be good to go.
Good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
9:32. Steve Edge headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Gee, this is my grandmother's favorite song.
Are you going to tell your favorite grandma story?
Oh, you don't know that story. You know, when I came home from school, Dave, I used to get off the bus at my grandma's house.
Yes, I do. I know this.
And occasionally, I'd walk up to the house, and you put your ear to the door, and you'd hear Cameo. And I'd look, and I'd say, well, how did I miss that sign? Because it was Cameo, and it said, if Cameo's rocking, don't come knocking. Grandma's cooking dinner. And I'd have to go over to the neighbor's house and hang out. I've never told you that story before, Dave.
No, you've told me that story many times.
Oh, I have.
Yes. I didn't know whether G knew that story.
Oh, I've heard it a couple times, too, now.
I find it hard to believe that I've repeated it. Bill and Wendy, shortly. First, the unclassified Inspector General's whistleblower report has a number of things in it that are worthy of discussion. Over the past 4 months, it reads, more than half a dozen U.S. officials have informed the whistleblower of various facts related to the effort of the White House and the Trump administration to gain information potentially damaging to Vice President Biden. The report goes on, and keep in mind Vice President Biden being his number one competitor in re-election. The report goes on. According to the White House officials who had direct knowledge of the call that would take place on July 25th between the president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, and the president, the requests made were to initiate or continue an investigation of the activities of former Vice President Biden and his son Hunter Biden. The background around this is Biden, as vice president, went to Ukraine, told the president at the time, we told you your corrupt prosecutor needs to go. We're about to give you $1 billion in loans. I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the guy's not gone, the money's not coming. Now, that may sound strong-handed. That may sound like some sort of quid pro quo. It's not a quid pro quo if you are the people in power at the time trying to ensure that you are battling corruption and corruption-free and giving away American taxpayer dollars. That's a different circumstance than what we're talking about here, where Mr. Trump is alleged to have tried to gain dirt on Mr. Biden for the benefit of an election. Next, to assist in purportedly uncovering the allegations of Russian interference in 2016, to meet or speak with two people, this is a request of Zelensky, to meet with Rudy Giuliani and Attorney General Barr, who you would think has other things to do. Next, Donald Trump expressed, this is all from the IG report this morning, Donald Trump expressed his conviction that the new Ukrainian government be able to quickly improve Ukraine's image and complete the investigation of corruption cases that have held back cooperation between the Ukraine and the United States. In other words, clean up the corruption, and I'm sure we'll be able to help you out and help you out possibly in greater detail. However, aside from the previously mentioned cases dealing with the Biden family and the 2016 election, the White House officials said no other cases were discussed. Bottom of page 3, White House officials told the whistleblower they were directed by White House lawyers to remove the electronic transcript from the computer system in which such transcripts are typically stored for coordination, finalization, and distribution to cabinet-level officials. Instead, the transcript is loaded into a separate electronic system that is otherwise used to store and handle classified information of the most sensitive nature. So, in other words, the supposition here is that those in the White House who did this move to a separate server, how's the irony in that, by the way, to a separate server, felt that it was so damaging to the president they had to get it off the traditional system and behind a password wall. Next, separately, multiple U.S. officials said that Mr. Giuliani reportedly privately reached out to a variety of Zelensky advisors, including his chief of staff and acting chairman of the security service. The whistleblower says, I do not know whether these officials met or spoke with Mr. Giuliani, but the purpose of the meeting was the same as previously discussed here. More pressure to get information / dirt on the Biden family. If you think about the time that President Trump stood up and said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find Hillary Clinton's emails. If you think about the fact that he was very fortunate to have the electoral setup being what it is and the election being what it was so that Republicans in the Senate would never go forward in a prosecutorial way, even though Mr. Mueller in his report said we cannot say that he didn't obstruct justice. They didn't acquit him. They said we can't say that he did. It's up to Congress to decide. He was very lucky. So you would think the last thing he would do, G, is get involved in some sort of election rigging. But that's the allegation here. Shortly after President Zelensky's inauguration, it was publicly reported that Mr. Giuliani met with two other Ukrainian officials to discuss the previous Ukraine special anti-corruption prosecutor, as one a former Ukrainian diplomat, the other those two men, allies of Mr. Lutsenko, who had made similar allegations in the above-mentioned series of actions and articles on the Hill. That other guy, Lutsenko, his ties go back a little farther, and he's a key piece of the Biden storyline. I'd like to know the president's innocent. I'd like to know that he's not involved in anything shady. The Ukrainian government examined, as did our own security people, examined Biden's relationship with them and Hunter Biden, the son's dealings with a company there that paid him a lot of money to be on their board. They found nothing wrong. So let's do the same here, and let's find nothing wrong. The cooperation of Mr. Trump and his officials will be key. Meanwhile, they are testifying, or the acting intel chief is testifying on Capitol Hill. And we'll see where this goes.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Representative Quigley currently questioning the acting director of National Intelligence. Quigley was one of the people you may have read about last night if you paid attention to the news after he saw the IG whistleblower report last night that's since been publicly released this morning and said it's shocking and didn't, frankly, in a lot of parts it is. Will this come to anything? Bill and Wendy will tell you, but not yet. It's going to be a good year for Chicago football, Dave.
It is.
I mean, look at this weekend. Already is. Northwestern's going to beat Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Illinois have this weekend?
Illinois has a bye.
Can they beat the bye?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. And the Bears will beat the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So,
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So it's going to be a good year for Chicago football. There's no better way to have this season go along with your football than your new TV, your Samsung 4K TV from Apt Electronics, delivering a stunning picture at any budget. I've got a couple of these 4K TVs. They're so lifelike they frighten me. I think the actors and actresses and athletes are actually in my home. And I'm walking around in my underpants. I mean, that's disturbing to me, mostly to them as well.
You know they're not, right? They're not really.
But it's
there.
Jarring. It takes a second to realize that. That's how lifelike the picture is.
I'd be glad to take one of those off your hand.
Get your Samsung 4K TV at Apt with guaranteed low prices and free delivery in time for the season. You know when Apt has been pleasing people? You know how long they've been doing this? Since 1936. 1935, not so much. But in 36, ever since then, they've been pleasing people. Great job at Apt.
And how about the Bears are going to wear throwback uniforms from 1936 on Sunday.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, it is. Yes, cool it for is. Me. I like yeah, that.
It's very cool.
Wow, why, the color burst, starburst uniforms they wear now on Thursday nights.
That's different.
And these throwback uniforms, I thought they'd be like a one-season thing. Aren't we like in season 20 of this? Why can't they just wear their normal unis?
Steve, it's fun because the helmets back then were made of paper mache. So.
And these are as well?
Yes. Yes.
Boy, I tell you, that doesn't seem wise, Bill.
No, it doesn't seem wise. Doesn't it's seem fun wise. To watch, though.
Hmm. How are you guys?
Really good.
Good.
Excellent. I like optimism.
Really? So good.
Yeah. What do you have planned today? Big things?
Speaking of the Bears, we'll be talking to Jarrett Payton.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Love him. Best hugger ever.
He's on. Does he pick you up when he hugs you?
Yeah.
Ask him about the unis.
Yeah, sure I like the throwback stuff. I really do. Yeah, it
spices it up.
It's different. It's new.
I like the bells and whistles.
What's old is new.
They're not
again.
Wearing bells and whistles.
But I like, you know what
that's
I'm
next
saying?
Week.
What the referees do.
Yes, the officials.
I like all of it. They like
whistles, not bells.
No, not bells anymore.
But in all seriousness, is the NFL done this for the female fan? Because the female fan is more of an appreciation for the uniforms, the color, that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, in this case, it has to do with the 100th anniversary season.
Yeah, but they've been doing it forever.
Well, different variations, yes.
You're the only one I hear complaining about it.
Well, the first time they did it, the 100th anniversary, it was the Bears were wearing beaver pelts because they used to go to a trading post and just get furs to cover up. So
maybe we should have a real bear, too, like
playing. That would be cool.
A mascot or actually
every team should have one representative of the team that they are. Like the Rams should have a Ram. The Saints should have a Saint.
Green Bay would be bad. It'd just be a guy that packs stuff. Just be a Packer. Just like a Union Packer.
Is that scary?
No, it's not scary at all. How about New York? The Giants.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, 10 guys and a Giant.
That would be fun.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, that's not good. Dallas? Well, who cares? A Cowboy?
Yeah, they have that.
Oh, look, you have a Cowboy.
It's all over
Congratulations.
Texas. Yeah. A Texan.
Yeah, some guy from Texas.
Yeah.
How hard are they to find? all right, so anything else you want to plug?
Yes, there's the author of a book called We're Much, Much Funnier Than We Used to Be, which explains how our sense of humors have all matured. Not all of ours, but
yours
some
hasn't.
Of mine has not, but some people's have matured.
You got to tell them about Moron Entertainment?
Well, say that again, Steve.
The Moron Entertainment, you got to tell them about that, how mature that is every morning.
It came up in the pitch meeting, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. You guys have fun.
All right.
And I mean that.
All right.
Don't hold back. See you tomorrow.